All right, turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this evening, reading from verse 22 to begin our message on the subject of gambling. Please notice with me as we turn to this passage. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject of gambling. And we see the ABCs of gambling, that is addiction, bankruptcy, crime, and corruption. This is one of America's new addictions. Most, if not all, 50 states have some form of gambling across our nation. Gambling is a moral, a social, and an economic issue. And that's one of the reasons that I want to address this subject here this day. Christians once considered it to be a sin, and they placed it in the same category as drinking or adultery. But for some reason, there's many today that do not see gambling as a sin. Now, there's many across the Gulf Coast here that will say, well, I only go to the casinos to eat because they have some good food. Well, hopefully we'll address that to some extent here this evening, but I want to just say that it is wrong to even to go into one of these places to eat or whatever the case may be, whether you gamble or not, and we'll see that in the message. Now, you notice with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm taking one verse out of the text here to begin our message, and we'll make reference to this verse again a little bit later on. But the apostle tells the church, he said, abstain from all appearances of evil. Notice that, abstain from all appearances of evil. Father, we thank you this evening for the Word of God. And dear Lord, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts about this subject. We pray, Lord, that your will to be done in each of our lives. We pray, Lord, your anointing and blessing upon the reading of Scripture. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, the apostle writes to the church and he said, abstain from all appearances of evil. Well, we see that evil is for sure associated with the subject of gambling. Now, to give you a working definition of the subject of gambling, I'm going to be quoting from another source. And here we see that a gamble is a transaction whereby one's gain is someone's loss or vice versa. To bet on an uncertain outcome, it is taking an artificial risk for hope of excessive gain beyond what the investment of time, money, or skill would justify. It is to exploit chance. Now, there's many various forms of gambling. And by the way, I wrote an article in 2004, just 5 years ago. We're going to try to follow that outline to some extent. And in this article, we basically have a number of quotes, and especially one on the back of the article by Charles Spurgeon. I hope that you'll read that and look at it. And laying here on the pulpit, I have before me just a ton of articles, quotes, and stats, and so forth. And obviously, we'll not be able to go through all of this, but we'll at least be able to go through some of it. So you see me shuffling around here this evening looking at some of the material. I'm trying to make a decision as to what I will use in this sermon and what we will not use. Now, there's various forms of gambling. You can start off with bingo, the lottery, casinos, cockfighting, cards, dice, video poker, flipping coins, races such as dogs, horses, and cars. In the first century, it was chariots, and pinball machines, sports bettings, and raffles. There's many that don't see anything wrong with raffles, but I do have a problem with that. You may not, but I have convictions in those areas as well. Now, I want you to notice with me in Galatians chapter 5. Let me lay a foundation, and then we're going to consider an outline. I have seven things I want to speak to you about this evening on the subject of gambling. But let me say here in the beginning, as we lay a foundation, that gambling is a sin. It is not entertainment. It is not a disease. It is not a disorder. It is not sickness. It is not game, it's not a contest, but the Bible will let us know clearly that gambling, as well as other issues, is a sin. Now, you notice in Galatians chapter 5, now, legalized gambling is legalized sin. making sin legal does not make it right. For instance, in 1973, abortion, we know that it is a sin against God and against humanity. And still yet in our nation in 1973, abortion was legalized. Well, just because that it was legalized did not make abortion right. The same is true with gambling. Over the years, the Christians have stood against gambling. And again, put it in the same category as drinking and adultery. But in our time, we're finding that not only is gambling legal across our land and many of our states, but there's many Christians today that are afraid to deal with this area, and they're also justifying gambling. We see in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be reading verses 19, 20, and 21. We see here a list of the sins or the works of the flesh. And he finishes the list by saying in verse 21, "and such like," indicating that there's many other sins that could be placed into this category. Now notice as we come here and we begin reading in verse 19. He says here in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Obviously, this list could be added to, and it is added to, in other places in the Bible. The reason I came and read this, I want you to notice verse 19. He contrasts the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 through 23. Now, I come to this passage to say to you that there is no verse in the Bible that says that thou shalt not gamble. Nor is there a verse in the Bible that says that thou shalt not take cocaine or use heroin. There is no verse in the Bible that says that thou shalt not dip snuff or smoke cigarettes. And still yet we know that taking cocaine, using heroin, dipping snuff, and smoking cigarettes is wrong. We know that because of biblical principles that are given to us. Now the Bible is not silent on the subject of gambling. For neither the Old Testament or the New Testament endorses gambling. The Bible may be silent on shooting someone with a gun, but the Bible is not silent on murder. And so as we consider the subject of abortion, I believe without any doubt that the Bible addresses this particular subject in a number of places, in a number of ways. Now many will say, well, did they not cast lots in the Bible? Well, as you go through the Bible, you do find the issue of lots. In the book of Proverbs, you also find it in the book of Acts in chapter 1 in verse 26. There's a number of places that you see lots being cast. But lots were never used for evil purposes in the hands of wicked men, and they were never, ever used for financial gain. Now we find the wicked in Matthew 27 in verse 35 casting lots for the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in a biblical sense, when we find God's people in the Bible casting lots, it had nothing to do with evil purposes. It had nothing to do with evil men. And it was never, as I said before, it was never used for financial gain. I'm saying to you this evening that gambling is a sin, whether it is in a casino or whether it is in a church. It is a vice like alcohol and drugs and prostitution and many other sins that we could list. Now let's step into our outline this evening. And the first thing, I have 7 points I want to give you this evening very quickly. But the first thing I want to mention to you is that gambling promotes covetousness, and we're going to be reading from Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3. Now, we maybe one day in the near future we'll come back and just preach a message on the subject of cards. I'm sure that you'll be interested in hearing the history of that. Now, notice with me as we come to Colossians chapter 3, and I want to read two verses from this chapter. Now, number one, again, gambling promotes covetousness. We are to mortify covetousness according to the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells us in Exodus 20 and verse 17, one of the Ten Commandments, the tenth commandment, it says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." We're going to find that covetousness is a form of idolatry. For that which we covet becomes our God. And it is to seek gratification of the flesh, that is to enthrone self. And notice with me as we come here to this passage. And by the way, before I read, let me give you two other verses. In Ephesians 5:3, the Bible says that covetousness is not to be named among the saints of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, we find that covetousness will lead to hell. And 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, basically tells us the same thing. You're risking eternity when you're involved in gambling. Now, I want you to notice with me carefully as we come here to this passage. We're going to see that gambling promotes covetousness. And we're also going to see that covetousness is a carnal work of the flesh that we must mortify. Now, you'll notice with me in Colossians chapter 3, reading in verse 5 and 6. He says, "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Verse 6. "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." God deals much with the subject of covetousness in His Word. And we know that gambling promotes covetousness. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, we see that covetousness there is the root of all evil. And he says there, he says, "Be content with such things as you have." And he speaks of the issue of the love of money. And he says, be content, that is to be satisfied with what God has given to us. The desire to gamble is fueled by the love of money. The entire motive of gambling is getting something for nothing. The desire to possess what belongs to someone else. A desire to get rich quick, that is without working. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 5, the Bible said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So, we're saying, first of all, that gambling promotes covetousness. Now, number two, we see that gambling perverts moral character. I'm going to be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading one verse from this chapter. Also, as we began our sermon here this evening, we read 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 22. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22, the Bible tells us, the Lord says, abstain from all appearances of evil. In 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 31, God tells us there, He said, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. There is no way that an individual can go and gamble in the casinos or buy lottery tickets and do that for the glory of God. Now I want you to listen to just a couple of facts here before I read in 1 Corinthians. Secondly, we're saying gambling promotes perverts moral character. Now Benjamin Franklin had said, those who lie down with dogs wake up with fleas. You got to be careful who you associate with. Gamblers are bad company. I'm sorry, but they're just bad company. Gambling has its association with crime, with drinking, with cursing, with nudity, with violence, with corruption, and with worldly music, and we can continue with that list. It has the appearance of many evils. Alcohol, I'm quoting from another author, alcohol is the grease that makes gambling wheels turn at the casinos. Free drinks, no windows, no clocks. And this is proven in the state of Nevada. Alcohol consumption in Nevada is highest in the nation. Now, you'll notice with me as we come to this passage, and we're going to read in 1 Corinthians 15, and I want you to see that it is not normal for Christians to be involved in gambling. It is not normal Christian practice. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one verse is all we need from this chapter. And let's read from verse 33. He said, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Now, that is a good verse to put to memory. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We need to be careful of those that we are associated with. Now, I'm going to read another passage in Ephesians 5, this time in verse 11, if you'll turn there with me. Let me give you a few other quotes by other individuals. William Webster, while serving as director of the FBI, he said in 1985, now I'm quoting him, "We know of no situation in which legalized gambling was in place where we did not eventually have organized crime." I'm saying to you that gamblers are bad company. Now, I'm saying that gambling is associated with many evils, and one of those is crime. George Washington called it the brother of iniquity and the father of mischief. He also referred to it as an abominable practice. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 17, he says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing." The Bible said in Romans chapter 14 that we're not to be a stumbling block to others. God says in Matthew 7 and verse 14, basically that verse links you to many worldly people who are on the broad way that leadeth to destruction. I promise you this evening that when you walk in the average casino, that you're with those who are on the broad way, those who are lost, those who are on their way to hell, and they're headed for destruction. Now, legalized gambling has proven to be just as dominated by organized crime as illegal gambling. That's something that we need to make note of. A U.S. News and World Report analyst found crime rates in casino communities to be 84% higher than the national average. Domestic violence and child abuse increase dramatically when gambling comes to an area. Now, please notice as we read in Ephesians 5, and I want you to see that we're not to join ourselves with the ungodly. The Bible said in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, he says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Notice not only are we not to have fellowship with them, but God takes a step farther and he says that we are to reprove them. Number three. Gambling plagues our neighbor. I'm going to be reading from Philippians chapter 2 in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and God's command to you and I. Gambling is a failure to love our neighbor. We are commanded to be concerned with the welfare of others, those that are around us. We are to esteem them according to this passage, that is to prefer them above ourselves. Leviticus 19 and verse 18 says, "Love thy neighbor." In Matthew 22 verse 34 through 40, the Lord Jesus himself says, talking about the two greatest commandments, to love God and then to love our neighbor. 1 John 4 and verse 20 says, "He that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" I'm saying to you that gambling will produce a feeling of distrust as one person seeks to benefit at the expense of another. Matthew 5 verse 43, the Bible even says to love our enemy. Gambling does not cause a better relationship with God or with those that are around us. It exploits others. We're never to take advantage of others. Now please notice in Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, he said, "Fulfill you my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love." Notice that, having the same love. "Being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Now you can't esteem others better than yourself when you're gambling and trying to take advantage of somebody else. He says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." You cannot do that in gambling. And he said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, number 4, we're moving through these quickly. Number 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we see that gambling prohibits good stewardship. Gambling prohibits good stewardship. Please notice as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, gambling is contrary to biblical stewardship. We're to be faithful in stewardship, that which God has entrusted to us. You see, God has given us health. He's given us talents. He's given us abilities. God has given to us jobs. He has given to us families. And we are entrusted with these things from our Creator and our Redeemer. And there's no way that we can be faithful to 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1, 2, and 3, where the Bible says that we're to lay up in store. That is, we are to tithe. There's no way that we can be faithful to God and His house if we're going to gamble our money away. But notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, reading in verse 1 and 2, he says here, "Let a man so count of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Now, I realize that he's talking about ministers, and I realize that he's talking about spiritual truths. But the Bible also talks about stewardship in material things. In Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, we will give an account of our stewardship. In Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 28, again, we will give an account of our stewardship. And as we read this passage, he said in verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Whether we be a steward of spiritual things or materialistic things, God is telling us that we are to be faithful. All right, now notice with me as we come to Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 19. Now let me give you a few other stats that I have laying here before me this evening. And of course we realize that gambling is a bad bet. I would not want you handling my money if you were a gambler. Now, casinos don't stay in business by losing. I think we understand that. 95 to 98% lose more than they bet. 95 to 98. You're 7 times more likely to be struck by lightning than to win at gambling, or especially at the lottery. You're 6,000 times more likely to die in a car crash. You're 500,000 times more likely to die in a plane crash. You're more likely to survive 88 rounds of Russian roulette than to win the lottery. Odds are 5 to 10 million to 1 against winning a state lottery. Buying 50 tickets every week, you will win on average every 5,000 years. That is, if you've got the time to wait on it. Now, number 5, gambling pollutes work ethics. Gambling pollutes worth ethics. The Bible says here in Genesis 3, I want to take one verse from this chapter. And as we come here, please consider that God ordained that man is to earn his living by toil and labor of his own hands. God says in Genesis 2 and verse 15, when He placed man in the garden, that man was to dress and keep the garden. That is, man is to work. Gambling is a sophisticated stealing. The winner, and I'm quoting from another author, the winner receives wages without giving anything in exchange. It's robbery by consent, but it's still robbery. And I agree with this statement wholeheartedly. Now please notice with me, as we come to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to be reading one verse from this chapter. I'm going to give you some other passages on the subject of work. But he says in verse 19, he says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and in the dust thou shalt return." Please notice in verse 19, "By the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread," not by playing cards or pulling slot machine levers. God is very serious about this in His Word. He said in Exodus 20 and verse 9, 6 days shalt thou work. I'm not going to read the rest of the verse. We're not talking about rest this morning or this evening. We're talking about working. He said, 6 days thou shalt work. 2 Thessalonians 3 verses 10 through 11 says, we were commanded to work, and if we don't work, we don't eat. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, "If any man provide not for his own, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Ephesians 4:28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Gambling is an attempt to get something without working for it. In Christianity, one is to eat the bread of his own labor. In gambling, the winner eats the loser's bread. The non-laboring, unproductive life of the gambler is condemned in Holy Scripture. Number 6, gambling produces addiction. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. It produces, it produces addiction. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5. Now the Holy Spirit is the only thing with the Word of God that is to be in control of the believer's life. We're not to be controlled by anything else. Gambling is addictive. It gets into our blood. There's between 8 and 12 million Americans that are addicted to gambling at this present time. It's the fastest growing addiction in America with the youth and also with adults. And Jesus said in John 8 and verse 34, "Whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." Romans 6 basically say the same thing. So we're saying that anything that enslaves us is sin. Now listen carefully as we come to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, one verse from this chapter, verse 18. He says in Ephesians 5, 18, listen carefully as I read this, dealing with the Holy Spirit. He said, "And to be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The only thing that is to control the believer is the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, we find that sin, gambling, things of that nature becomes our master. "No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." That's very clear in the Scriptures. As narcotics, it takes control and becomes the master of the gambler. I read a story not too many years ago about a pawn shop, and it says that this one story was a jar in a pawn shop, And it says that it had gold teeth. There is a in this jar. And says where a man had his teeth pulled and went back to gamble. And more than there's more ATM machines in MGM Grand Casino in Las Vegas than in any other building in the world. Addiction always increases with legalized gambling when things are legalized. And to give you an example, in 1989, only 1% of Iowa's adults were gambling addicts. But after riverboat casinos were legalized, the rate of addiction more than tripled to 5.4%. When a state starts to gamble, the number of compulsive gamblers will increase between 100 and 550%. When we consider not only adults but youth, this has become an epidemic among young people in our nation. It is considered, as I said a moment ago, the fastest growing teenage addiction. Teens are three times as likely as adults to become addicted to gambling once exposed, and at least 1 in 10 teens engage in illegal activities such as stealing, shoplifting, prostitution. In other words, they're to finance their habit. Ben Franklin said again, he said, keep flax from fire and youth from gambling. So we see that it is an addiction. It leads to addiction. And it can bring about destruction to the individual. Now, number 7, we see that gambling proves a lack of faith. I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And many of you can probably quote this verse before we ever get to it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. But I still want to turn there and I want to read it. And I want you to listen to some other passages before I read in this particular chapter. God tells us in Romans 14 and verse 23. He says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We're talking about that gambling proves, number 7, it proves a lack of faith. Gambling proves a lack of faith. You cannot gamble by faith. There is no way. We are to be living a life of faith as believers. Not of luck, not of chance, and not of fortune. We don't believe in luck. The word luck is a pagan term to begin with. We don't use it, we don't believe in it, and it is not our philosophy of life. I'm saying to you this evening that when we gamble, it dethrones God and it despises God's word and God's law. The gambler is trying to exploit chance, hoping he will be lucky. We do not believe in luck. The Bible said in Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. These things has to do with material possessions that the nations seek after. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What are we saying? We're clearly saying that gambling proves a lack of faith. When an individual goes to the gambling casinos or buys the lottery tickets, they're proving that they truly don't have any faith in the God of heaven. Now notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm saying that this includes raffles as well. Now you may disagree with that, but I have a problem with raffles. I've had people get upset with me because I wouldn't buy a raffle ticket, but that's something I just don't appreciate and I don't participate in. Well, you'll notice here, he says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, one small verse, he said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now that's a small verse, it's a short verse, but it's a very powerful verse. gambling is the opposite of faith. It doesn't matter how you look at it, gambling is the opposite of faith. To me, that is very clear in the Bible that gambling dethrones God and it despises God's Word and God's law. In Isaiah chapter 5, when I first moved to the Gulf Coast, there was no casinos here. And we've watched not only the landscape change, especially in the state of Mississippi, but we've also watched crime rate and things of that nature also change as well. Now notice in Isaiah chapter 55, I'm going to read at least verse 20 from this chapter. I want you to notice the woes that are mentioned throughout this chapter. I challenge you to read this as you get home tonight and just consider God's woes, God's judgments upon individuals and upon nations. Now, as we come to this last passage, I want to give you just a few other thoughts here. I do want to read some of the stats and some of the quotes that I have here before me. We'll take at least a few of them this evening. But I'd like you to keep in mind that in Matthew 7:14, that we're on that straight and narrow path that leadeth to life. And there's many that are on that broad way that leadeth to destruction. And the Bible said in Luke 16:15, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You must agree with me this evening that gambling across our land is highly esteemed among men. Millions and millions are involved in this vice. And it was also an issue many years ago in our country. And it had to be dealt with by states and by our nation because it would have completely destroyed America if it had continued the way it was headed. And I'll give you some thoughts on that in just a moment. God says in Proverbs 28:20, he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 22, and he that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye. These are scriptures that we must consider. These are scriptures that we must take to heart if we say that we believe the Bible, if we say that we're born again, that we're in the family of God. These are things that we must consider and that we must take into account. I'd like you to listen to just a few things as we read again some stats and some quotes. Let's go back to the state of Nevada. We've made mention of this once or twice already in our message. And I want you to consider the legacy of a state where gambling has become the centerpiece. The state of Nevada, and most of these quotes are from other sources. These statistics I'm going to give you range anywhere from 10 years ago up to the present time. So they may vary just a little bit. Every year, the stats change. They usually increase to one degree or the other. But the state of Nevada is number one in this country in divorce, in suicide, homicide against women, high school dropouts, gambling addiction. It ranks third in abortion. It has highest rate for citizens for tax evasion. It is the fourth in the nation in crime. It is the sixth in the nation in prisoners locked up. And 10% of those who live in the southern part of the state are alcoholics. This does not address the 30 million visitors that come to Nevada and gamble and go back to their state each year. Now, this is the legacy of a state where gambling has become the centerpiece. Now, I've got many stats here laying before me that deals with the subject of schools. I'm not going to read those. They tell us that what a blessing that the gambling money is going to be to pave roads and go into the schools. These things are not so. I got here, George Washington in 1776 issued a general order to his troops. All officers, non-commissioned officers and soldiers are positively forbidden playing at cards and other games of chance. At this time of public distress, men may find enough to do in the service of their God and country without abandoning themselves to vice and immorality. And in a letter to his nephew, Bushrod, I believe is the name, Washington, in 1783, he called gambling evil, the brother of iniquity, father of mischief, abominable practice, as I already mentioned to you before. Billions of dollars that should go into the economy will be in the pocket of gambling kingpins and organized crime. Studies show that over half of the new business that opened in Atlantic City when casino gambling started were closed within 3 years. This came out of Parade magazine, May 1986. The population of the city actually decreased 20%, hurting the tax base for economic growth. And this contributed to slums in the cities now. And again, I've got an entire list of just what it does to the economy that you never hear about whenever they're promoting the gambling. Also got the statistics of crime in Atlantic City and how that it tripled. And how that even in Biloxi here on the Gulf Coast, and how that the murder rate had doubled after casinos came in and many people moving out of the city. Even in Nevada, we have those statistics. Don't let them fool you when they tell you that things are going to be wonderful. There's going to be new businesses. There's going to be nice roads. There's going to be a lot of money given to the schools and things of that nature. Don't be deceived by this. Approximately 50 million Americans gamble. Over 80% of American adults gamble at least occasionally. And I said a moment ago, 10 to 12 million Americans are addicted. That's about 5% of the people in our nation. In the fiscal year 2002, Americans bought $42.9 billion worth of lottery tickets. That comes to almost $360 for every adult who played. Americans gamble more money each year than they spend on groceries. More money is spent on gambling in the state of Mississippi than on all retail sales combined. In 2002, online gamblers were expected to lose some $3.5 billion. Each week, about 2 million people visit any of the more than 1,800 casinos, making it one of the Internet's fastest growing industries. And by the way, this was from Newsweek, October the 28th, 2002. So those stats have probably much higher today than they are as I read them or as they were then. Americans spend more money on gambling than they give to churches or invest in a college education. 1994, the total amount of money spent gambling was $177 billion, 15 times the amount of Americans donated to churches, twice as much as they spent on higher education, and over half what they spent on food. Roughly 3 out of 4 Americans approve of legalized gambling and favor bingo lotteries over other forms, according to the result of a national survey. Compulsive gamblers have an average gambling debt of $43,000, and 85% of them have stolen from their employees to pay debts. One study has shown that gamblers are more likely to drink, to smoke, and to do drugs. 1 in 5 homeless people admit that gambling contributed to their poverty, and yet 37% said that they continue to gamble. 75% of pathological gamblers admitted that they have committed at least one felony to support their habit. The typical age range of compulsive gamblers was 30 to 55% in the 70s. Today, again, this is 5 years ago, today it's 17 to 70. Up to 98% of compulsive gamblers commit crimes. 1 in 20 who gamble regularly become compulsive. 1 in 10 in young people. 57% of Americans have purchased a lottery ticket within the past 12 months. According to the National Association of State and Public Lotteries, that's 2004, February the 15th, Mobile Register. By 18 and 50, more than 500 gambling houses had sprung up in New Orleans, Louisiana, and an estimated 6,000 were operating in New York. This is why we have state laws against it, for it nearly destroyed parts of this country years ago. Many societies over the years have banned gambling. Turkey banned casinos. India had banned lottery because it made poor people even poorer. Now let me read just a few more, and then we're going to read Isaiah chapter 5, and we're going to close. 20 years ago, now it'd be more than 20 years ago, because again, some of my stats are a little old. Commercial gambling casinos were prohibited in every state except Nevada. Only 13 states had lotteries. There was no such thing as a Native American casino. Between 1976 and 1988, casinos were legalized in Atlantic City, and the number of state lotteries more than doubled. Then between 1989 and 1994, gambling casinos were legalized in 21 new states, and slot or video poker machines were authorized at racetracks and bars in 10 states. The average gambler's anonymous patient will have lost all their money and accumulated debts ranging from $35,000 to $92,000 before seeking help. Since casinos came to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, domestic violence has increased 69%. And an estimated 37% of all habitual gamblers have abused their children. An estimated 100 million Americans wager over $600 billion annually. Almost 20% of wife abuse cases involve domestic disputes related to gambling. Another study here shows that more than 60% of senior citizens, that is ages 65 and up, had gambled in the past year. That number was up 50% in 1995. I believe this study was actually done in 1997. Rescue Mission, here's another study. In a random survey of more than 1,100 people in 26 Rescue Mission shelters in 1998, 18% cited gambling as the reason for their homelessness. Of the people surveyed, 88% said they used to gamble or still do. Now, as I close here this evening in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, I want to read from verse 20. And the Lord God says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Now, I would challenge you to read the entire chapter of Isaiah 5. This entire chapter is dealing with God's woe and God's judgment upon individuals and upon nations. And he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." There are many today in our society that are calling gambling good. They're saying that it is okay, and they're in violation of Holy Scripture. There are many preachers today who refuse to preach on gambling. Some of them are gambling themselves, but they refuse to preach on it. I read one story of a preacher, and he was given his reason for not dealing with subjects like dancing and gambling and so forth. He says, "Well, I fear of getting into the area of legalism and bringing burdens upon people that should not be." But I'd like to leave with you this evening that we are to preach the Word of God. As we started out, we're to abstain from all appearances of evil. And we've given you seven reasons this evening why that we believe that gambling is a sin and it is a violation of God's Word. And we are not to call evil good and good evil. We are never to put darkness for light and light for darkness. And we're never to put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're to speak, thus saith the Lord. And if you can't find any other reason, out of all these reasons I've given, if you can't find any other reason why that you should stay away from the gambling casinos and the cards and the lottery tickets and so forth, just consider the crowd, the company, the bad company that dominate these places. I beg of you this evening to consider these Scriptures and to pray over them. And I realize that this church, that no one has any problem with this subject. But we've all got family, we've got friends, and we've got neighbors that travel to the gambling boats. I know of churches that will actually take their church van and go to the gambling casinos with people from that church. So we know of those that are around us that are justifying themselves in this area. And we, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, we read it in verse 11, that we're not only not to have fellowship with them, but God says that we are to reprove them. Well, we're going to stop right here.